Welcome everybody to Overdunk episode 7. My name is Zoinks with Unite Mics, and this is the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. We're sitting down with top teams who are ruling the game right now, and today I have the opportunity to sit down with the Yermans. What's up, guys? Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Yeah, thanks for having us.
So you're now my second EU team I've had on the podcast. I'm sorry. It's like choosing between your two favorites of who was going to get on first. I'm really sorry, yeah. But I'm glad that we have the opportunity to actually get you on here. I know that most people know you. All of you guys are very like prominent in people's streams, in chats. I see you guys everywhere and pretty much every Discord I'm in, which is awesome. But let's just go around quick and get everybody to introduce themselves a little bit so the stream and the podcast knows. So we'll just move around in a circle. Why don't we just say a quick blurb of who you are, what people might know you from, like what game you came from, and then what role you play on the team. Kiva, why don't we start off with you? You're in my little circle.
Yeah, I'm Kiva. I played a lot of League before I switched to Unite. I'm the supporter, and yeah.
Okay, sweet, awesome. Nazi, why don't you go next?
I played some League as well, then I saw this Pokemon Unite coming out. I was like, yeah, why sure, I'm trying to try it. First, I wanted to like play for fun, then I just got thrown into a team, and that's how I ended up here.
Awesome. Hey, you got thrown into a really good spot then. Well done. All right.
I've been through like 17 teams or something. Oh, I don't know.
The infinity gauntlet of EU is going to be complete at some point. Nazu's going to be in everything. All right, Blaine, you're next.
Oh, yeah. I'm X-Blaine. I'm the attacker currently. And I've played Hearthstone competitively before. I've played TFT to like Challenger level, League of Legends. Yeah, and Warcraft 3 when I was like younger.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Wow, yeah, OG game. I love Warcraft 3. Yeah. That game ruled. All right, Urzeron, do you want to jump in next?
Yeah. Hello, I'm Urzeron. I'm the jungler of the team. I haven't really played anything competitively before, but I have played a little bit of League and other games too.
Okay, sweet. So from MOBAs to another MOBA. Okay,
awesome. Yes.
Okay, very cool. And then Marv, why don't you finish us off?
Yeah, I'm Marv. I'm the top laner on our team, and I never played a game competitively before.
Okay, sweet. So Pokemon Unite, a lot of people's first actual competitive game for your squad. That's awesome. And I mean, really cool to see that your team's already finding so much success, whether that be in branding. Everybody knows the Yermans. That name is in everybody's head for sure. But also just finding a lot of team success. You guys have a few actual really big tournament wins under your belt, and not to mention this most recent qualifiers that happened literally yesterday. You've already qualified yourself for the first, for points and for money, February match coming up next week. So congratulations on that. Let's talk a little bit about the history of your squad. When is the first time this team formed? If I'm correct, is like Red Shell Gaming the first like iteration of this team?
Kind of. I would start. Like okay. For me and Nazo, we played earlier together already.
Okay.
Like we started off in a different team, kind of. I started off with playing like with a streamer friends and like got like into 5-stack. And my first tournament ever was like a content creator tournament. And in the finals, I played against Nazo. So this is like I got in contact with Nazo. Nazo won. My team disagreed on playing new Pokemon after a patch. They were like, now we play the same stuff all over again. And they just played Venusaur against us and we couldn't do anything.
Oh no. Alright, well that's pretty brutal. Okay, awesome. So then, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, and in that team we had also Sikozui. That was like the former attacker of like Red Shell Gaming.
Okay.
So that was like, then me and Nazu kind of left all of that and went to NA. Yeah. Sort of to White Flag Gaming Academy team. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay,
this where Nazo's story starts with a White Flag.
That's true. Yeah, White Flag Gaming. RIP to that team, kind of. I think, I know they split up recently, I'm not sure, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, I think Kiva, you can say something about, like, the evolution part.
Oh, yeah. Marv and me started in a team that was called Evolutions.
Okay.
Marv already got recognized pretty early because his Lucario was very nutty.
Okay.
And still is. Then two spots were free in the team from Siko Zui, and Morph and me were viewers of him, and saw our opportunity to hop in there.
Yeah, definitely.
So we applied there and got accepted.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's how RSG was created, kinda.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but then something happened with Siko, don't want to mention it, so...
Sure. No problem.
And another member also just left without saying anything, so two spots were free again.
Okay.
Oh yeah, and Erza was in the team with Siko before that as well, I forgot. Yeah, so we were three in there now.
Okay.
And then Nazu and Blaine kind of hopped in, yeah.
Okay, awesome. So eventually this team finally formed. You've gone under many team names at this point. Whether on this team's also been, you were Brubs Tier 3 subs for a while, if I remember correctly. A very beloved name, of course. You gotta rep the homie. That's EU streamers for sure. So that's awesome. And now you've formed into the Yermin Burger Flippers, is what your in-game tournament name has come to. There's got to be a story behind that. What's the story behind the Burger Flipper team name?
I mean, it was kind of like the first time when we played without like our full squad, we were always like on spot. If something spawned Red Mar Zapdos, we were like always ready to flip it.
Okay.
Because Marv spent way too much time in the practice tour to secure. He was practicing secure all day.
Okay.
Every time you're like, okay, Marv, what are you doing? I'm in practice tour right now. So Marv knows perfectly the range to like pop something and secure everything.
Okay.
So we always meant like for the play, okay, we can just rip it and we know Marv secures it.
Awesome.
No pressure on Marv, of course. But we did it a lot. So, like, there's a meme from 60s. He's like, yeah, okay, it's 5 minutes into the game. Blaine makes a call, we flip Zap, and the game is over for them. Because, you know, we get Zap, and the game is over.
Absolutely. All right, so the flip is a strategy. That makes a lot of sense. And when you got Marv on your squad, it's a very viable one. That's fantastic. So, Marv, you have been, I hear you've been grinding out those secures. You've been running drills in the practice area.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I thought it was very important because Recovery Pop is the best secure in the game.
Yeah.
And so this is a big improvement you can take as a Recovery player.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, best secure in the game, that's burst damage, of course, on any wild Pokemon, not to mention the unstoppable ability that it gives you when you get that level up. This Pokemon's pretty strong, for sure, and has been for a long time, but that's really cool that you're able to, really get nerdy with it and get in that practice area and grind out those skills. That's awesome. So I want to let the people know a little bit about who your team is, the inner working of your squad. So there's a few questions I like to ask just to really, you know, understand the team dynamic. And what I always like to start with is, who's the biggest inter on your squad? Who runs it down mid when everybody else on the team comps is screaming at them not to? Okay. That's an awesome hand raise. Okay, well, not often do I see someone admitting to it, but Nazu, you own it a little bit.
I mean, yeah, there's like times when I'm playing focus, I'm like pretty good, but then like if I don't focus, I can just do something.
Sure.
Weird.
Gotcha. All right, so the aggression, when you're not focused, you're blinded by whatever's in front of you, right? Your team's got to pull you back in. Okay. Well, then I'll give you the chance if you're the self-admitted. Are you also the carry of your squad? All right, who's the low-key carry on your team? And I like to ask, who's the one that doesn't get credit very often for it?
I think it's Ezreal.
Yeah.
Erzurum?
For sure, Erzurum, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Giving it to the
jugglers. We saw it yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because the qualifier, he like completely popped off. It was insane.
Okay, very cool. Awesome. Erzurum, you getting the award from your team for being the low-key carry of your squad. That's awesome. What Pokemon are you running in the jungle right now?
Yeah, I'm really happy that my team is recognizing that, but I think in our team, everybody is really the carry, because sometimes Marv carries it with last hitting, and Kiva last hits a lot with his Eldegoss 2 and steals some wins with it for us. So I think each of us is popping off sometimes. In the last tournament, it was me with Decidueye, but it can be anybody in different games.
Oh, That's the cutest thing. That's the cutest thing. Also, Decidueye. Wait, what? Okay,
yes,
very cool.
Yes,
excited to learn more about that. That's fantastic. Okay, and then the last question I love to ask to get to know teams a little bit. Who's the funniest member on your team? If you guys are tilted, if a game's going downhill. Marv?
It's
okay.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. So, Marv, you are the good vibes member of your team. You help pull the team out of tilt, things like that.
Yeah, I think I have a crazy humor. And we have a good synergy, so good. My humor gets accepted, and this is kind of funny in the team.
That's awesome. Good, you need
to have that. Just imagine you're sitting in a call, like everyone is kind of concentrated, and he starts talking about pandas.
Okay.
Or he's just like starting to send you a video and be like, look at this dog, this is basically Blaine, but it's now he's missing last hit. So
good. Hey, I mean, just a perfect amount of troll on the team, a little bit of trash in your team members is necessary in every squad. So that's fantastic that Marv can fill that out for you. That's awesome. Well, at this point of the show, I want to start, let's pivot a little bit to actual in-game stuff. So, just recently, we finally had the first setup for Worlds. We had the February qualifiers, just the top 16 teams making it to next weekend already, which is where we're going to have the first February Cup. It's going to be awesome. You're going to play for money. Top 16 teams in EU. Pretty, like, solid tournament overall. I think everybody's top 5 teams made it through bracket as well. So it's going to be a very stacked top 16 tournament for sure. But you were able to make it all the way through. So on stream here, I am going to pull up the bracket here so that we can see that. And let's talk a little bit about your run here. So you were queued up first, if I'm bringing this up, in against the Natural Born Killers. And that one ended up being a 2-1 game. Does anybody remember that game? I know round one was literally forever ago.
Yes. We had warm-up game. Let's say it was warm-up game.
Okay.
We had a huge lead. We got Zapdos. We kind of flipped it. We got it. And then instead of like running down, we decided to pick a fight and just all died beside Marv. And then we lost the first game. That was kind of pretty much it.
Okay, gotcha. So there was a bad flip where a run it down situation happened. You
got
that warm up game out of the way.
Makes sense.
Have you run into this squad on ladder in EU at all or even in tournament, this Natural Born Killers team, or is this a brand new team that you see?
I think we recognize at least one or two person from ladder. A lot of teams reformed. Like they got new members in, they like switched around. Like everyone was kind of even like panicking. Like we need a team now to play this tournament. So they got people together. But I think like we recognize most teams. Like every time you see a team name, you're like, who is this? Like I have no clue who is this. You click on it, the name, and you're like, oh okay, I've seen at least like two of those guys on ladder before.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the same case in pretty much every region. We saw a lot of that. What I was most excited about was that we saw a lot of teams coming back. Teams that I hadn't seen since season one in the tournament scene, we finally saw those people entering bracket again. So it's just really, really cool that Worlds is initiating this. One, you know, really competitive solo queue players finally finding a squad to play with, and as well as other teams coming back. So that is fantastic. But let's move into your next round. You guys were placed up against All Stars Unite, who was given that random seed by. You were able to 2-0 this game. So congratulations. But anything particular that stood out about this game against All Stars Unite?
Wasn't that the game we'd like tower dived them with Reno for like an hour or something like that? It's like all I remember from that game.
Oh, really?
I don't recall many games. Like we watched the VODs. We're like always, like every time watching the VODs afterwards.
Gotcha.
I think like those games were like, compared to like the round four match, like not that memorable.
Right. Okay. Well, let's hop into the next one. Just to say the team names because I think it's hilarious. We had the Battle of the Flippers. We had Coin Flippers versus you, the Yerman Burger Flippers. Was this one also a pretty solid stomp for you guys? Everything was going your way for this 2-0?
Pretty sure. They tagged me on Twitter today. Like, it's a Spanish team. I know them, and we also played them before.
Okay.
But I think the games weren't, like, not that close.
Gotcha. But at least this is a team that you've seen before, and they made it pretty far. They 2-0'd their first two games as well. So, I mean, it's not a complete easy walkthrough game, but you were able to nail it. That's fantastic. All right, and then we get to the big, big game. This is like our first, I think, real chance of a top team being knocked out. You were voiced against, well, they were going by Unleashed in this tournament, better known as Apes Unleashed right now. That everybody knows this squad, the 6Es, Gekko Kami on this squad. I had them on my podcast just a little bit ago, and you were facing up against them, and you were actually able to take this match 2-0, real headline game. And it ended up in your favor. Talk to me about this game. What went down?
We fell behind both of the games.
Okay.
We played them both from behind. We just focused on farming up, get Erza to the highest level possible, to get Blaine on level 13, at least on Vino, so we can win the last team fight, and that's what we aimed for.
Okay.
Awesome. And we gladly won these team fights thanks to Blaine and Erza. Erza just completely ripping them apart. Not gonna lie, his Desaturé completely, bursting the HP bars down.
Let's talk about that for a second, though. So yeah. Decidueye is not a meta pick unless I have just been blind to the EU beta for a sec. But Erza, talk to me about this Decidueye pick. Why are you running that in the jungle slot right now? And what build are you going with?
In this setup, we play like around a hyper carry comp. We try to protect our carries with Venusaur and Decidueye. And the thing about Decidueye and Venusaur comp is like I can stay so far behind, so I don't have to fear slow bro. And with the Venusaur ulti together, we can just deal so much damage on the enemy team and like win the end fight. Yeah. And in the first game, and in the second game too, Apes pick Dragon Knight. This is like more for securing objectives, but it's weaker in the team fights. So we knew if we can get far enough in the late game and pick a fight against them, and we can win this team fight and win the game with it.
Awesome.
But we never underestimated Apes. All of these games were close and could have gone either way. They're a really good team in EU too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You guys are also within that top five. So are they. Really, really fantastic. You were able to win it with just kind of your macro strategy, you're saying, going for these more team fight oriented compositions instead of opting into this secure strategy. So really, really good idea. Yeah, that's fantastic. Are you also going with that Razor Leaf build for Decidueye, or are you moving into more of that spiritual shackle?
No. We played it with Razor Leaf. It's like I try to start the fight off with my ultimate to choke the enemy team down. And after that, I run in with my Razor Leaf and try to clean up together with Blaine.
Okay, that makes a lot of
sense. And we have Nasu stunning and sleeping everybody with Wiggly, so I can hit most of the enemy team if they are stacked together. And Kiva protecting us all.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, congratulations on the run then. You were able to you only dropped one game, and that was your warm-up in the first round, but other than that, a 2-0 stretch all the way to that top 16 finish. Gonna be on that winner's side, too. I was trying my best to figure out the format going into next week just by messaging players and things like that. I assume you're gonna have a higher seed going into that top 16 because you qualified through that winner's side. I don't know that for sure, but hey, if you get that, that is fantastic. But yeah, like we said, a lot of these top teams going to be qualifying. We saw PogChamp in there, or I believe Random Gaming also qualified. Five Guys, you, and Apes Unleashed, who I think is probably going to round out that top five, in my opinion. Are there any other big teams that you see that qualified through here, or that you noticed that made it through the bracket and are going to be headed into that top 16?
You go first.
I mean, there's Random Gaming and PogChamp, who are really good teams, in my opinion, too.
Absolutely,
yeah. Yeah, like those top five teams, like you said, it's like pretty much the top four. They can like fight out everything, like depending on the day, like, everyone can beat everyone.
Yeah,
and then you have like other teams that are like not bad. It's just like they have to like prove them more.
Okay.
Like, I don't think like the Italian stacks are like they have the potential to be like on top if they like continue grinding the way they do right now.
I would say keep running's team, the team Villanti or in this tournament now 5i.
Okay.
If they would have qualified, I mean they played versus Apes in the losers last round.
I see. Okay.
I think they have a good chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also think like this was like the hardest branch of the bracket, because for me, Keep Running's team is also one of the top 16 teams and should have get qualified too, but they lost and fell into the loser bracket, and after that had to play Apes in the loser
Oh,
bracket, which is like one of the
yeah.
best teams too. So, and
Just
it was a close game too. They played 2-1-2
Oh my
in their
goodness.
in their team. So yeah.
Just a gauntlet in terms of that bracket run. Yeah, you're right. So this is kind of an unfortunate dark side of this tournament format, right? I mean, we went in with that random seeding for this first tournament. I mean, the Pokemon Company not able to do distribution. We have no real events run by this official sector to earn points or anything like that so far. But yeah, what did you guys think about this format? Do you think that the random seeding was a big problem headed into this tournament, or do you think it had its casualties, but for the most part, it worked out okay?
I don't think the random seeding is like a big of a problem. It's like the first
Okay.
tournament, official one. If you go by like other tournaments, if they would go for like, okay, we take Shiny League and all that stuff, and like into that, the seeding would have been a complete mess. Because, for example, our team never played a Shiny League event after we got disqualified from one.
Oh, right.
We
Okay.
never played anything of their tournaments anymore, so we wouldn't
Gotcha.
have like even like a good seed. So it would be like in the end the same thing. Like five guys would be the same because they're like playing under a new name,
Yeah, a
name
brand new
like new
team.
lineup.
Yeah.
They would also have like a complete bad seeding, so it wouldn't make any difference.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay,
And if you
gotcha.
want to win it, you have to beat anyone.
Yeah,
So it's
that's true.
whatever.
That is true. If you want to take the top, you got to beat the top teams. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Also, I just got to ask this question. How did it feel to play on good ping for a whole tournament? I know you guys have been cursed trying to play in all these NA tournaments and stuff, and horrible, horrible ping. It feel real good playing on green ping the entire time?
Like, it's, I mean, green ping is nice to play on, but I mean, we live in Germany, we have a little bit of problems. Like,
Gotcha.
I'm always playing every tournament on mobile hotspots, because if I would play on cable or something,
Oh
rapping or
no.
something, probably.
Oh, that's rough. Okay, well, you guys got to win these tournaments, got to get you some extra cash. We got to buff up that mobile hotspot level for sure. We could do it for Nazu's internet. We got to get some wins. Okay,
We
gotcha.
were also really
Yeah.
scared because we did scrims. There were scrims the day before, and Marv had some big connection issues,
Oh
so we were
man.
really scared it will happen again.
Oh,
So
that's so
we were
stressful.
kind of lucky. Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, we even thought about naming us Red Ping Gaming.
That would have been hilarious. Redfin
Yeah.
Gaming would have been a really, really funny team squad name, but
Yeah, I
okay.
mean, there's like a whole story, but they start off with like Azoran always having like internet
Oh,
problems,
no.
like disconnecting in game. He's like standing still, not jump padding, something. He's like, can you hear me? It's like robotic. And we were like, oh no, it's happening again.
Oh,
Then
no.
I continue with Nazu having internet problems. And then one day before the tournament, it's Marth. He's like, why am I on red ping? Why am I on red ping? And it's like every game it starts, I'm lagging. And once I hear this, I'm like already tilted. I'm like, no, we don't co talk about connection anymore. We just play the game. I don't want to hear if you're on orange ping or whatever. I don't want to hear
Right.
it. We are playing against the EU teams. You're not on orange.
You can't think about it. You just gotta put it away. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. All right. So the ping was okay for some of you, rough for others, but hey, at least it's just EU teams. That makes a lot of sense. So good, good. Awesome. How do you guys think that this tournament was run, by the way? This is our first just official event ran. I think Pokemon's definitely been like contracting out the actual broadcast and event organization to other companies. How did the EU event run? Was it really smooth? Were there some bumps in it? Yeah, talk to me about that.
I really liked how it ran,
Okay.
because if you look back at some of these tournaments we had before with double elimination, everything, they like took forever. And this was like the first tournament that really went on time, and we ended it earlier than we thought it would go.
That's awesome.
So I'm really happy like how they organized it and
That's
how it
great.
went down.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ended way earlier than I thought it would too, because I woke up and I was like, great, I'm ready to watch some EU games. And then I look up, oh no. Well, I'm ready to watch some NA games, because I got all the Twitter was just saying, yep, we're qualified, we're qualified. It's like, ah, oh, well, crap. I got to see nothing, but that's, yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, a really well-run event. I think that was the general consensus of pretty much every single region. People were saying that this is really good, very timely, I mean, very strict on those kind of things, but hey, yeah, if you're having these giant team brackets, I believe there was over 100 teams for EU, right? Like 110 or something like that, that were registered. So if you got to move through that gigantic bracket, that is fantastic. That's something that you definitely want. But okay, so we mentioned previously these top five teams that we were talking about: PogChamp, Random Gaming, Apes Unleashed, Yermans, and the Five Guys Squad. Out of these top five, where do you think that your team kind of lands headed into this top 16 tournament? Are you top five, top three, top one? Yeah, where does Yerman Burger Flippers land for you in those tier rankings? And don't be humble.
I mean, it really depends on like the performance. Like I can't say it, like if there's like a rank one team right now. Like it's not like TTB and NA. Like, okay. I saw like Apes had like the best chances before, but now they have like a new tank, and it's noticeable that they play different.
Okay.
And like have to work that out. Mm-hmm. Then you have like the Five Guys stack that's still figuring out the top lane situation.
Sure.
Every time, so that's also a problem. We also have a problem sometimes with like jungle top interaction, bot lane interaction. Okay. We're used to play like from like bot lane always from ahead. Now we're like every game behind on bot lane.
Okay.
So we have to figure that stuff out. And for like the French team, PogChamps, it's like they have a new tank player. They Edogos is playing Focus Band. And the top laner had like a 3-week break. So
I see. Okay. For
the same for Random Gaming. If they go with their crazy comps, they're like insanely good. If they go with standard, they have problems with that one.
I see.
So it's like everyone has like their stuff.
Gotcha. So it's more of the Wild West than a rigid tier structure. Okay, anybody can beat anybody in this tournament. That's so exciting. Yeah. I'm sorry, that's probably so stressful for you as a team to have to deal with.
Kinda, yes.
Yeah. To always have to think about a threat, but as a fan and watching, that is fantastic. I can't wait to see some of these games. I'm sorry that you have to prep and try to prepare for every single situation at any time, but how does that actually look? So, like you just were detailing, the top teams all around are kind of dealing with their own issues, trying to optimize their gameplay. When it comes to prepping for these other teams, especially when you're looking at, you now know the 16 teams headed in your bracket, you know the biggest threats in this top five, does your team preparation go into more specifically, this is how we play when we match up against Five Guys, this is the adaptation that we have to do when we're going against PogChamps, or does it become, we need to just play our game, we need to optimize what we do best and do that to the best of our ability so that we excel in tournament? Which direction does your prep normally go?
It's really indifferent. Like it's,
okay,
we look at like as other teams, like what they're playing, how they play. We play against them a lot. We've also played a lot with them. Like everyone plays with everyone.
Okay,
so you get to know like who you're playing with, like you get to know their play style, but it's still like, I don't think we're like preparing, okay, they're playing this comp, we have to counter this comp, because at the end everyone can play different stuff, right? So if we prepare for like Random Gaming to play like the most random comp against us, we are like throwing in, we did that once, like we played no supporter against their fist fighting comp on bot lane, and they just played normal and we got screwed over because we didn't have Nerdigos.
Gotcha.
So we just play our game and like adapt to their playstyle more than like their draft or anything like that.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense to me, especially at this early point in this game. Like, that's what you have to do. I mean, the meta is still really up in the air. To that point, you ran Decidueye in the jungle and you were able to take down one of the best teams in the game. So I definitely think that that is what happens in a new scene like this. I mean, things can constantly change. What's good is constantly going to be on rotation. But all right, but let's talk about this Worlds and long time prep. So Worlds, we have the announcement, obviously, for a long time, but now we have the road detailed out in front of us for what is going to be the qualification process for that tournament in London in August. So obviously that's going to be the goal for your squad. I know that your team would love to get there, get that Yerman representation over to London and get your spot qualified in Worlds. But how has the prep looked? I just asked you if you prep for specific teams or for yourself, but what does that look like in terms of actual, you know, mechanical preparation? Is that going to be just grinding ladder as a team constantly? Are you scrimming other teams in EU? Are you practicing that way? And does your time, does your team take the time to VOD review at all?
Marv, tell us about VOD reviewing every game.
So I think like the important thing of improving our team is to watch VODs or doing scrims against other good teams.
Okay.
So after the scrims, we are sitting here together and watching VODs on Discord to see what can we improve, what are our weaknesses, and
Awesome. Yeah, okay, good. When in those VOD review sessions with your team, Marv, are you kind of the, not coach of the team, but are you the one talking the most in those situations? Or are you the one pointing out everything? Or is there a different person that does that? Or is the whole team contribute?
I think it's Blaine, because he has the best macro gameplay and told us what we can improve.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad Vazid says that you never talk and that it is a myth. So we in chat, a bit of flame coming towards you. But okay, so Blaine, you were kind of the brainy macro player on the squad. Are you also the kind of in-game shot caller for your team then too?
It depends. Like, we don't really have a main shot caller, which is like also kind of problematic for our team, because we're like sometimes discussing a play on the run. But I think it's more important that everyone is speaking in the game.
Okay.
Like, if I shot call, I talk way too much, so no one else gets to talk at all.
I see.
So we're kind of trying to figure this out, as we get like a mixture in there, like for big calls.
Cool.
But I'm more in there for like VOD analyzing and stuff like that, because that's my thing. Because I'm coming from like a strategic game background, so everything is like discussing about different lines, which work, which doesn't work, where was our positioning wrong. And then we sit there, like me and Marv, I think the last tournament we played, after that we said, what are we doing till like 3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, okay. Makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're going to got to put in that time if you want that preparation to pay off. And well, it sounds like you guys are very, very much putting in that time. That is fantastic. Have you noticed, have you been reaping the rewards? Are you feeling that these VOD reviews are helping your team? Do you feel that improvement when in-game, Nazu, Kiva, are you feeling it after, Blaine's yelling at you in these VOD reviews for so long? Is it paying off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad to see that it's actually paying off, because the tournament scene is getting a lot more serious. I mean, finally we have official tournaments over here. The Eastern region has had their official tournaments before for a long time, but finally we're getting some ones, and there's money on the line. Pretty decent prize distribution for these monthly cups. Is the money and points and Worlds qualification, all of that mixed together, has that made your team take the game a lot more seriously going into this preparation, things like that?
Money? Not really the money. I just think for me it's like the first time I'm able to participate in something this big.
Yeah.
I've never been in before, and I just want to play here.
That's awesome. That's so cool to hear. I mean, yeah, money's always going to be a nice extra thing, especially if it gets Nazu a decent amount of internet. But other than that, just able to have, that incentive of just, this is big. Like, we finally get these world championships. We're going to have official broadcasts for all of these monthly cups too. Just places to showcase who you are, showcase these teams. That's so, so fantastic. So awesome. I'm really glad to see that that's, pushing teams forward, because, I mean, you got to think about these things holistically, especially if you're a streamer. If you can get your name out in just multiple sectors, get it out to the general Pokemon public, it's going to be huge for you. So that's fantastic. I'm really glad to see that is pushing the team forward. Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about Worlds finally then. It's going to be the first time that we have, an officially sanctioned international competition. However, EU has kind of been, playing against NA for a long time now. Since the start of the game, very few tournaments have had region-locked events. I know that, unfortunately, that you have had kind of the dark side of those things, been kicked out of a tournament or two. I'm sorry to hear that. That really, really sucks. But, any of you have the chance to watch any of the NA teams playing through their run yesterday?
Yeah, we were watching a lot of games yesterday. We were even in Discord with the NA people.
Cool, that's awesome.
Like, watching the last rounds.
Awesome. And what do you guys think of NA right now? Do you think, who do you think if you stacked them up, like top teams versus top teams, who's taking it? Is the NA meta a little bit stronger right now, or is the EU teams just that much having the edge?
I think NA meta is just like super slow and like actually like I don't know, it's not even the meta. I think it's like more the player skill wise.
Okay.
Like the jungle top duos are like really insanely good.
Okay.
Like that's insane. You have like good players like Rin, you have like Retsu who are like insane. Then you have like the whole team's shiny squad, like TTV, are really good. And then it like drastically falls off with like bot laners in the other teams.
Okay, interesting.
That's like from what we experience in the games. Like NA bot lane is like not the strongest. That's why like players like Bruv used to be in NA teams because they were missing strong bot laners.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the bot lane of NA has been something they've been trying to fix for a long, long time for sure. But yeah, the EU tanks have been talked about for quite some time. Yeah. So that's pretty fantastic. Okay, so that's what you think. Anybody else on the team, do you think that EU is better because of the bot lane? Is that a pretty overall generalized consensus?
I mean, I think the big problem still is the ping. Like we will see it in Worlds when everybody is playing on the same ping.
Yeah.
Who will win at the end there? Like their game, sometimes we win against NA teams, sometimes we lose against NA teams. Mm. I think we have to watch how it's going to go. There are good players on either side.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be strong teams overall. And honestly, we're not getting that many seeds for Worlds for any of these regions. There's two for NA. I believe EU gets two as well, right?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Yes. So EU gets two. And then we don't know about an LCQ, like last chance qualifier. I think that's still up in the air because like even with if you account for all the seeds of all the currently announced regions, that doesn't fill up the whole tournament for Worlds yet. So we may see some extra seeds distributed depending on what regions get added. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, we're looking to a really, really good tournament coming in for that world sector. Finally, no ping gets announced. How about any of the other regions? Have you been noticing like really good teams coming out of like maybe Japan, SEA, South America? Any of these teams are, or if you don't know them, any other region do you think could have a strong chance of making a splash at Worlds?
I mean, JP meta is like super fun to watch. Like,
yeah.
We watched the videos on like YouTube. We were trying it out on EU as well, like throwing in random stuff and trying it out. But it's always kind of hard because you're playing like 1-1-3, and every JP video is like 2-on-2. Mm-hmm. So we tried like, for example, putting Lucario on bot lane. Marth was suffering the whole day. He didn't have fun. No joy for him.
No
just
joy.
Darkness.
Yes.
But I think like playing against them on like same ping if they know what they're doing, same with like score comp what they are always playing.
Yeah,
it's like super fun. It's gonna be interesting. Like I'm gonna see which teams from JP qualify.
Have you
like
noticed any score comp on EU ladder at all?
Yeah, it's us.
Us.
It's us. Yeah. Yeah, I noticed it. All right. Okay. Cool. So actually, we saw a score comp team in the last rounds of the NA tournament knocking out a really big name of Glitch Gaming. Actually, so Overcap, the high score comp squad, going to be running into the top 16 of NA. So we're gonna have a little bit of that representation coming from other places, gonna be making a splash in that tournament as well. So I don't know if any score comp teams made it all the way through EU bracket. Like I said, I wasn't able to watch as much of this qualifier tournament as I wanted to, unfortunately. But yeah, okay. So a lot of good teams headed into this top 16 bracket. You guys have 1 week to prepare, and then this cup kicks off. Like you said, this is your first chance to really be a part of something really, really big, and you know, on the road to Worlds. That's fantastic. I know you said that right now these top five teams, any team can beat any other team. However, I'm just curious, is there any team that you are particularly very excited to play against? Any team that you love playing every time you play, or feel like you particularly match up well against them?
We are always happy to play against strong teams.
Okay.
It's just very important for the improvement as well.
Yeah, that makes
but
sense.
I think the team I was most excited for facing Ofna already happened yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
Because when you
coin
asked
flippers,
them...
right? Yeah.
No. They... But yeah, when... Like, I was in the podcast when you were in the podcast with them together.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked them the question, who they fear. or are excited to play against, they didn't mention us.
Oh.
So,
and they paid for it.
Yeah, yeah. We are happy we won that, yeah.
Good, good. Yeah, he had a bit of a chip on your shoulder. You needed to prove that, hey, you gotta watch out for us. Awesome. Well, yeah. I mean, the word is out there. The Yerman Burger Flippers are through the winner's side of the bracket into this big tournament. That's fantastic. I mean, I know you guys were excited to play any of these top teams. You were saying it before, Blaine, if you want to win the whole thing, you have to be ready to beat anybody on the day. So that makes a ton of sense. Well, awesome. We're getting close to the end of the podcast here. I've taken up a lot of your time already, so thanks for joining. I love to end on one question, though. We get a little bit more of an individual look at each of you as a player. We, in this podcast that I've been making so far, it's really been one for the competitive scene to get top teams, you know, a little bit of a chance to showcase their personality, but we're also getting a lot of viewers from people who are really good at the game, these solo queue players. They've made it to Master, they've been grinding up their Elo quite high, but they haven't quite made the step into finding a 5-stack, entering into a team, and trying to enter into these tournaments. And we're probably getting a lot more of those players with these big open qualifiers. So I would just want to get from each of you just one tip. Hopefully just like keep it about your role, but it doesn't have to be. And just one tip that you think makes a good player to a great player, especially in these 5-stack team situations. Just what do you think really can make someone go from good to great? Kiva, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned solo queuing to Masters. I think if you want to grind even higher the ranks, I think it's important to find a 5-stack.
Okay.
But you need to have fun in that 5-stack and enjoy playing with them.
Yeah, that is true.
So the synergy is good. And yeah, I think that's one very important thing.
Okay, gotcha. So when finding a 5-stack, it can't just be the best players you know. You definitely have to have fun with that team. That makes a lot of sense. That's going to give you the sticking power too, for sure. Otherwise, that can be rough. So I'm sure we've all experienced that. 5-stacks that were not as positive as we'd like them to be. Nazi, why don't you go next?
One thing I had problems with myself was that I was like not talking at all, mostly in the games. I like just recently started to like actually call out things like I'm getting big sleeps or something quickly. Like this is a really important thing to call out information you get. Like for example, you see something on the map, the jungle rotating bot side is for a gank.
Cool. Yeah, just constant communication. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah, you got to speak up for sure, and especially on these tournament settings. You can't let Blaine call the whole thing. You gotta add your voice to it for sure. All right, Blaine, how about you? God, let's give a tip that can make a player go from good to great.
I think you should always like record your gameplay. Like you need one person to at least record it, so you have like something to look at it afterwards. Because everyone has an ego and everyone's like, it's kind of delusional when it comes to like pro play.
Yeah.
And they're all like, okay, I played perfectly that fight. I've totally hit my ult on everyone. My Aedogos totally landed on everyone and not only on the opponents. So you always have to make sure that you have like proof of it, because everyone is saying I did perfect play, but in the end, like everyone misstepped, for example.
Yeah.
So you need like videos to like analyze what you're actually doing wrong.
That's
if you just go by memory and say this or what review, everyone is like saying what they apparently did, but nothing happened like that. Yeah. You're not improving.
That makes sense. You got to have the receipts. Okay, so recording your gameplay, that makes a ton of sense. I mean, you're right. People's egos can get a little high, especially when you think you landed that amazing Unite move, but not all the time. Really, really good tip. I like that one a lot. Urza, why don't you go with you next?
Yeah, we had some general tips now, then I take one more specific for jungler.
Sure.
You have to remember you don't have always to be the carrier. Like there are many comps where you play with Venusaur or other Pokemon that need like specific levels to pop off in the end game, like 13. And what I often see in like solo queue or what people are struggling with is like they're playing the jungle role and then they take all the farm, are level 14 or 15, but the rest of the team is like level 10. And then they go somewhere else and aren't in the team fight and wonder why is my team losing, even though I'm so high, I could carry this. So like they're forcing themselves often to carry the games. Sometimes it's even good for your team if you are like already level 13 or even if you can't hit 14 with this, give the Venusaur your jungle buffs so he can get the 13.
Okay.
So both of you can carry because it doesn't have to be you only.
Nah, that makes a lot of sense. When your team requires it, you have to share a little. Tough for some jungler players to do, but it's a really, really good tip. You got to be aware of your team comp, what they need, what your players are going to need. That makes a lot of sense. All right, Marv, why don't you give us the last one?
Yeah, I think that communication is the biggest an issue on the team.
Okay.
Because one person can't see what happens all over the map.
Right.
And also every person should know his limits and test it so okay. He can be a good player.
Awesome. All right, so practice mode, get in there, learn your Pokemon in and out. Find the deep strats, you know, get into the dark web on each of your Pokemon. That's awesome. All right, that makes a ton of sense. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for joining me, everybody. And now that we're hitting the end of the show, I just want to give everybody a chance to sell out, shout out, whatever you want to. Tell people where they can find you on the internet, your stream, your Twitter, whatever it is that you want to plug. This is your chance to do it right now. Let's just go around the circle one more time here. Why don't we start with you, Kiva?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitch.tv /KivaTV. And my Instagram is LucasKindervater.
All right, sick. Sounds good. Nazu, you're up next.
Yeah, I'm like not streaming it often, but like Twitch.tv. Nazu with free use and underline.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. All right, go tune in for sure. Are we going to get more face cam streams after this grand reveal?
Probably not.
Probably not. All right, that's totally fine. Blaine, why don't you go next?
You can find me on like every social media with ExplainHS.
Awesome. ExplainHS. You've already following this guy probably if you're listening to this. Urza, how about you next? Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitch sometimes, but I'm not streaming so often. Most of the time, I only stream to get the to watch review my own gameplay after that.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Well, if you want to flame Urza in chat, make sure you go follow that stream. When it does, you get the rare chance too. How about you, Marv? Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, you might find me on Twitch next week. Awesome. 999 Marv.
999 Marv. Okay, make sure you tune in. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us for Overdunk Episode 7. I have been Zoinks with you, Night Mikes. Just a quick plug for us. You can follow me at ZoinksCast on Twitter, but you can also find all of this stuff. This podcast, our other podcast, Late Night Unite, and just a ton of video with commentary with me and my co-caster, Dubesnacks, as well as some other guest casters over at youtube.com/UniteMikes. That's where you can find everything with these world's championships coming up, with these broadcasts. Any love that we get for Unite Mics on the social media helps us so much. Any vouchers, any shout outs, that would be amazing. So thank you for joining here. Thank you so much to the Yermans for joining me on the podcast. I have been Zoinks. They have been the Yerman Burger Flippers. Everybody have a great rest of your night, day, whatever time zone you're in, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.